I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And right now, joining us on the line is Jason Green, co-founder, general counsel of SkillSmart, and a former associate counsel to President Obama, and a man who was in the room last night. And Jason, it's good to have you on board here with Mornings of the Mall. By the way, Brian Wilson alongside Aaron McPike, who is in for Larry O'Connor today. How are you doing, Jason?
Thanks so much for having me. I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Well, good, but I want to know, you know, a couple of things about what it was like to be in the room last night, because I'm watching on TV, and when that moment where they both came out and then they just sort of stood there was sort of an uncomfortable frost in the air, and there was no handshake. What was going on? How did it feel in the room while you were there?
You know, it's interesting. You heard it throughout the debate where different candidates would offer up some red meat. Clearly, there was some interest amongst the audience for red meat. And I think the real question as I watched it is, how is that red meat going to transition of Election Day from political theater into votes? And so there's clearly excitement and enthusiasm around party political discourse. The question is, what direction is that actually going to take?
Yeah, but in the room itself, what was the mood like?
Well, you know, here you had the first town hall debate, and so I think there was a little bit of nervousness around what those questions were going to be, and then excitement around, particularly given the lead up of the last couple of days, around exactly which direction the candidates were going to go.
And just one other question about the atmospherics of the room. The Clinton accusers, where were they in the debate hall, and were they paid much attention?
I'm sorry, Brian, say that one more time.
The Clinton accusers, there was a press conference before the event, and apparently the women who've made accusations against President Clinton in the past, were in the room.
That's, you know, Candidate Trump referenced the fact that a few of the accusers were there. I was in Spin Alley I wasn't privy to see exactly where in the audience they were. You had sort of the inner sanctum of those that were asking the questions, and then sort of the broader field house of audience, and so
okay,
I assumed that
right.
They were in that broader audience.
All right, fair enough.
So, Teresa, what was the Spin Alley like after the debate? What did people in there think was the big moment of the debate?
Well, I mean, the debate, interestingly, had different segments. You know, if you look at the beginning of the debate, you had a full segment of time where we really weren't dealing with any substantive issues, and so I think there was a lot on both the Republican and Democratic side questioning about how Donald Trump was going to respond to the questions around the videotape, whether he's going to take it head on, which direction he was going to go. And so, you know, that sort of dominated the first portion of the debate. And then there was, you know, a whole segment of substantive policy discussions. And so, you know, depending upon your political affiliations throughout Spin Alley, there was, you saw the rise and fall of interest around that sort of substantive conversation versus some of the atmospherics that were clearly on display.
Here's my question. It was said in sort of a joking way on Saturday Night Live that the last thing that Democrats want was for Donald Trump to get out of the race. He comes into the arena. Let's acknowledge that it had been a rough 48 hours for him before he came in there. There were things swirling about. You knew the question was going to be asked. If Hillary Clinton goes to the mat and just comes out with all guns blazing and were to have a night like she did in the first debate, we might be having a different conversation here this morning. Democrats really don't want Donald Trump out of the race, do they?
Well, there's an interesting dynamic going on right now in the electorate, Brian. You know, in 2008, you probably had a campaign that was focused around messaging, hope, change. This is a campaign right now that we're seeing activation around people don't want to see, both on the Democratic and Republican side. You see a lot of excitement on the Republican side of the House around an anti-Clinton campaign, and on the Democratic side, it's very much an anti-Trump effort. And so I think some of that coalescing, that field motivation and strategy is somewhat tethered to Donald Trump being in this race.
So, Jason, also some of the coverage today is that Trump saved himself, that he's living to fight another day. Some even say that he won the debate. Frank Luntz, who's been pretty hard on Trump, and his focus groups have not been particularly good for him last night, that focus group showed a swing to him a little bit. Were you surprised by some of the coverage this morning after what went on last night?
I haven't been surprised. I mean, frankly, well, maybe I'm not surprised in that nothing about this political season has been predictable. Candidly speaking, I think the expectations have been set so low for Donald Trump that he really didn't need to do much other than not trip over himself to make sure that he was meeting those expectations. And so we saw that. If you look at the sort of core of the debate, when we were talking about substantive policy, several times Donald Trump was offering incoherent statements, and yet he was able to string sentences together that at least seemed like actual policy. And so you see the punditry saying that he was able to survive the days that were leading up to the debate and the political and policy questions that we all weren't sure he was going to actually be able to rise to meet.
All right. Listen, Jason, thank you so much for joining us. I greatly appreciate your perspective. Jason Green, co-founder and general counsel of SkillSmart, associate counsel of the President Obama back in the day. And it's good to have you on the show this morning.
Aaron, Brent, thanks so much. Have a great day.
All right. Same to you.